Hey, everyone. Thanks for checking out the podcast today. It's Wednesday, December the 30th. I wanted to give a big special shout out to a new sponsor of the show. They're actually going to be sponsoring this last episode here in December and then all the way through January. It's painoutsidethebox.com. So introducing Path to Pain Free. Path to Pain Free is a collaboration between two TMS and mind body coaches, Miriam Bongiovanni and Duncan Clark. The two have come together to write a day by day program which covers a specific aspect of TMS each day. It's an entirely DIY program that is very hands on, with exercises following each lesson that will get you to increase awareness of how your symptoms are being triggered and why they're persisting. Primarily, it helps you identify those beliefs, behaviors, and actions that may actually conflict with your TMS recovery, while also giving you importance to your general well-being. Path to Pain Free includes lessons on how to overcome pain conditioning, how to neutralize negative emotions, and start reacting and behaving differently towards pain to more wellness-related topics, such as lessons on how to induce the relaxation response, incorporating play and movement, and aligning with your personal values and priorities so as to overcome emotional repression. Miriam and Duncan have shared their personal and professional experiences and combined them to create a comprehensive program that combines TMS work with pain neuroscience and other stress reduction techniques. This website's really, really cool, very well laid out. I'm a big sucker for great design. And in fact, actually, if you go to the website right now, you can even subscribe and get a copy of the ebook. You'll get the first chapter of the 25-day program, Path to Pain Free. So I would encourage you right now to go to painoutsidethebox.com for more information. All radio is dead. All radio is dead. Episode 156 of the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Hard to believe that it has been around as long as it has. And as always, I want to make sure that I'm thanking the patrons of the podcast. It's actually, there was three new patrons that joined this month. So Carrie, who actually joined yesterday, shout out to Carrie, thank you. Jason and David also joined on this month. But Colette and Matt, Mindy, Irina, Kelly, Tony, Francisco, Ashley, Michael, Mike, Victoria, Chad, Anthony, Jen, and Nate, Eddie, Jenny, Christina, Ross, Julie, Casey, Brian, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. Thank you all so much for supporting the podcast. And if you're interested in supporting the podcast, go to patreon.com/the Mind and Fitness Podcast. And of course, you can always rate and review the show on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcast. But today's interview is with Lindsay Roberts, who is on the line with me. We're trying a new format, so if this sounds totally hacky, I put Lindsay up to it, and she's going to indulge me and help me out with this new intro. Lindsay, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we talked about a few things in the upcoming interview that people are going to hear. We talked about your new event coming up, February 6th and 7th. What are you calling that? What is the name of the event?
Yeah, the event is called Break Free from Chronic Pain, Turning Pain into Possibilities, and it's a virtual summit that anyone can join.
So this event is going to feature a lot of different elements, different things that maybe you have tried in your healing practice, but they're sort of all going to be put together into one. I mean, is it appropriate with you being in the culinary arts if I call it a buffet of healing? Is that correct?
Incorrect? Sure.
And in this episode, we get into some of the details around the particular things that you're going to actually see at this particular summit. And then hang on all the way to the end, because Lindsay actually gives out, she talks about a promo code, because this people can get a substantial discount on this two-day summit that's coming up in February of 2021 as well.
Yes, 50% off. We have a limited number of tickets. Yeah, I'm just really excited. After being healed for the last 6 years, I've been wanting to kind of gather amazing healers and practitioners that have helped me or I've met in the process of healing, both in the United States and Europe, where I now live. And I feel like it's a place where you can take little tidbits that will resonate with you and kind of write your own prescription to heal yourself from chronic pain. And as we both know, healing from chronic pain is a process. It takes time. So I feel like you will be able to start 2021 with real tools in your toolkit and have less pain over time and do it in a fun, creative, exciting way with the support of these healers.
All that and more is coming up on the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Eddie and this is Lindsay. Listen in. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, as always. And I've got a returning guest. So if you're interested, if you start to listen to the... Actually, you know what? Before that you listen to this interview, if you have not, go back to episode 147, which dropped on October the 28th. And it's with Lindsay Roberts. She's a foodie, a transplant from California over into Europe. And we had a fun conversation about some of her background. And she is back. To talk about a couple of exciting things that are coming up for her. Lindsay, are you there?
I am here, yes.
For starters, thanks for coming back. It's been a couple of months, and this is another one of those rare instances where I am recording the podcast, and it's going to air the day after it records, which normally there's so much time in between. But you've got something coming up about 5-6 weeks from now that you're preparing for and that we're going to talk about today. So, you know, give us the initial very short itemized skinny on it, and then we're going to come back to it and go a little bit more in depth. So what's coming up?
Firstly, thank you for inviting me back. I really appreciate it. And this idea has kind of been percolating in my head for quite a while. 2014 was the big year where I healed from chronic pain. And so, you know, it's now been 6 years, and I've just been thinking about how I healed and I'm a teacher. I have a background in teaching and education, and I've felt that it's part of my life purpose and mission to kind of share this knowledge with others. And, you know, how do I go about doing that? And I have my website, mindbuddykitchens.com, which is, you know, cooking and nutrition and recipes and classes and things like that. But I've met some of the most amazing practitioners and healers throughout the years in the United States and now Europe where I live. And so I just, you know, this pandemic has kind of, ideas have flowed with this pandemic. So I just kind of put it out there to my network one day. Would you be interested if I created an event, in participating? And it just all came together with such ease, and all the right people said yes. And I just thought, okay, I got to do it. You know, so I want to share with the world, you know, how healing from chronic pain can be fun and creative. And it doesn't have to be this, you know, emotional sob fest or whatever you want to call it. You know, I think there's so many different ways to heal. And I just want to share, you know, these amazing healers with the world. And I think, the idea is that, you know, you can write your own prescription to heal with chronic pain. And so this conference or this summit will introduce you to all these different modalities, and you'll be inspired. You'll leave inspired with tools to apply to your real life every day and, you know, be on your way to less pain in 2021.
Now I'm looking at some of the, which by the way, the dates on it, February 6th and 7th. And I'm going to include, if you're not in my, the podcast, group on Facebook, it's called the Deleters of Pain, and I would encourage you to jump in there and check it out. But because I'm going to post some information there about the event. But if you don't have Facebook or don't use social media or whatever, you can always email me, Eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com, and I can send you there. But is there a website that people can go to get some more information on the event?
Absolutely. So I've listed it both on my website and Eventbrite. So my website is mindbodykitchens.com, and kitchens is plural. And you can just click Chronic Pain Summit. It's at the top. Or the Eventbrite link. I have the, you can just search on Eventbrite, but there is, there's a version with the bit.ly link. Should I give that out, Eddie, or
no? I see it. It's it's a longer link, and so it's something that people can request, but I'll post it on Facebook, and then of course people can go to the Mind Body Kitchens website to check it out. Now there's an information page that you had sent over to me, and it includes kind of all the things that you're going to be or that are going to be talked about in this particular event. And I didn't think about this, so I'm sort of putting you on the spot. And if that's problematic, just tell me. But it's such a vast range of different things that people can do. So I'm gonna read the first part of this, and then I just kind of want to get your take on why is this particular element of healing a part of your weekend or your summit. So over the course of the weekend, participants will learn to rewrite their stories, experience sound healing. And so the first one is gentle yoga. Can you just comment or talk a little bit about why yoga being a part of this is important?
Movement is key to moving on from chronic pain, even if it's the tiniest movement, and everyone has different abilities, and over time you grow strength, and it helps just rewire the brain and, you know, moving on towards a pain-free life. So I found movement for myself to be essential. And at one point in my life, with the severity of my migraines, you know, I was very cautious of even moving my head. And I remember going to yoga classes and not being able to do much, you know, but it was movement, and I found it helpful. And this is actually going to be really unique yoga, because the instructor is not your typical yoga instructor. She's a doctor who's a chiropractor and has a specialty healing modality that she does. And she teaches yoga. And Lydia, who is a sound healer who healed herself from autoimmune disease, is going to be playing gorgeous sound healing instruments while the yoga is happening. So even if you can't move, just by sitting there in your own home and listening to the beautiful music and being in a more meditative state, you'll get something from it.
That's awesome. Perfect answer. the structural integration piece, which I'm very interested in hearing about. Talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Well, Maria is an amazing healer and practitioner in London. I actually see her myself. And she does structural integration and cranial sacral. And she is going to give some tips on different movements and ways you can release some stuck energy in your own home. So I can't say too much more about that, because she hasn't given me her outline of what she's going to show. But we had really enthusiastic conversations, and I wholeheartedly believe in what she does. And, you know, I want to say, I think one of the most special things about this gathering is every single healer, practitioner, doctor, whatever, has healed themselves from their own traumas. So you can't say that about everyone that you see. So they have a different perspective than just somebody down the street. You know, they truly get, you know, how you might be experiencing inability to move your body and the thinking that goes along with it. And so they can also share some of their own story with you.
Now the next two are two of probably maybe my top two or three in my toolkit are the next couple of things. And it would be so lame to say we don't even talk about those, because everybody sort of knows, but I always love getting the perspective of the person obviously talking about it. So give me the skinny on meditation. Why is it important? How have you used it? Those kind of things.
Yeah, well, I was one of those people that was like trying to learn to meditate for like 20 years. You know, I feel like I finally got it over the last couple of years. It doesn't matter if you have chronic pain or not. Meditation is beneficial for the body, for rewiring your brain. You know, and I'm just going to say this example. When I was teaching up till a year ago, and running a cooking school within a school. And sometimes I couldn't even meditate. You know, things are happening in the classroom, quite chaotic. And sometimes all I could do is literally turn my back, take one breath, turn around, deal with the problem. And even that one breath made a difference in how I was able to relax, deal with the situation. So meditation is good for anyone. It's an essential life skill that I think we're recognizing in society now and teaching more in schools. And, you know, it's not something you have to wait till you're 40 or 60 to learn. But it can help reduce pain as well. So if you are in the midst of pain, you know, it can be a lifesaver. And it's something that I practice most days. I do skip a day occasionally, but on the days that I don't do it, I notice I have more stress and more agitation with things that happen throughout the day. So I feel like it's a life skill. And this conference or summit is really about just reinforcing really good life skills. And you take what resonates with you.
I saw some, I forgot who wrote it or where I saw it. It was somebody that I like personally know, but they had copied a meme or something online and posted it, I think on Instagram or something a couple weeks ago, but it was talking about meditation and saying that, and I think this is maybe to me at least, and if you disagree, that's fine, but a fundamental thing maybe that people miss with meditation is that they sort of go in with the goal of completely quieting your mind. And I feel like it's an impossible task to completely quiet your mind, but instead thinking of meditation as just allowing anything in. And to me, I'm just kind of, to me, that concept really goes hand in hand with the next piece, which is somatic experiencing, where if you can be one or be a part of your own experience, it really diminishes the fear response to me. So talk about somatic experiencing. That's my number one, by far, head and shoulders, bigger than anything else to me, is the somatic experiencing. So can you talk about that for a couple minutes?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, though, right back quickly to the meditation, the person that will be teaching the meditation piece is well known in the world. She trained with Buddhist monks, and I really like that her philosophy is you just need about 10 minutes a day. Like, that's doable, you know, and she agrees with what you're saying. You basically just let the thoughts flow. The negative ones will never stop. You know, right. But you can look at the situation differently, you know, with a different perspective. So I wanted to say that, because I feel like 10 minutes a day is so doable. And especially if you have chronic pain, like that is something that you can work towards.
Well, and I always see it as something that's very comparable to, like, if it's pouring down rain outside and you don't want it to pour down rain outside and you walk outside and try and do everything you can to make it stop pouring down rain outside, like that's an impossible task. But if you can just be one with, like, I took my dog, my black lab. It was like torrential rainfall here a couple weeks ago. And I mean, so much so that, like, the park and the trails we usually go to, they were flooding and all this stuff, but like the girl's got to walk. And so I took her on this walk and we just, you know, we got drenched and we fell down and we, you know, we walked through mud and all this stuff, but like, it just is what it is because we're being one with the experience as opposed to trying to fight off rain, which you can't fight off rain. And it's like you said, you know, the negative thoughts will never stop. And so how can we learn to live with them, right?
Exactly. And then, so you mentioned, so somatic experiencing, we will have a practitioner who is going to talk about somatic experiencing. And this was really key in my own healing. It really resonated with me. So she has spent 40 years, first as a massage therapist, and she ran a massage school, and she realized that she couldn't, like, fix her clients. You know, she realized that there was a mental piece that was lacking, and she was just kind of putting the band-aid on by, you know, massaging her clients or teaching her students to massage the clients. So she got into somatic experiencing, and she practices a certain type called Hakomi. But anyhow, it's really imperative to healing for some people because it gets to the emotional root and figures out where that energy is stuck in the body. And she helps you release it by asking probing questions and, you know, connecting with your inner child, really, your intuition. And I think from my own experience, as someone with chronic pain, I was disconnected from that person. I was disconnected from my true self because of the pain. So this really was helpful to me. And I think this little introduction will help people decide, is this something that I need or don't need? Could it be helpful to me?
Definitely. I really, really like that approach, for sure. So as far as the, I'm going to bring it back up here. So I'm kind of looking at this and, so the rest of this, oh, NIA dance. I have no clue what that is. So fill us in.
Yeah. And I just want to preface this, like, you might, some of these things might seem a bit out there, but the year that I had that profound healing, I had attended Dr. Lissa Rankin's Whole Health Medicine Institute in San Francisco. And this is a conference. It probably cost $2,000 or $3,000. I can't quite remember. And this is where I was introduced to a lot of these healing modalities for the first time in my life. And it was a conference for doctors, nurses, and holistic practitioners. And I just got on her email list. I don't even remember signing up for it. And then I got an email in May saying, you know, you can, there's a opening in the conference in July. And I went, and that's where I learned about somatic experiencing and trauma and all these things that I needed to heal that I wasn't aware of. So it was just mind opening to me. And Nia Dance, the founder of Nia Dance, was actually at that conference. So I had never heard of it before either. And, it's, you know, you can heal the body with, so many different modalities, and, you know, meditation is one, movement is one, like this Nia Dance. It's, I have to say, I don't know any men that do it, but they could. I do attend a class in London virtually now because of the pandemic. And, it's kind of like a mixture of yoga, martial arts, and dance, like aerobic dance. Like, you don't actually get on the ground until the end to stretch, but, the teacher, just plays, it's always different music, and, you know, and it's usually upbeat and lively. Sometimes it's a bit more melancholy. And, the thing that I love the best about it is there's no like right or wrong movement. You only move how you can. You know, if you're having more pain that day or whatever's going on, you just do what you can, and you do not want to experience any pain. So I think it's a really fun way to move the body, and it's joyful, and it's kind of like connecting to your inner joy in a fun way.
You mentioned a couple of minutes ago where you had said some of these things seem out there. They do not at all to me. I mean, when I look at some of the equivalents here, like yoga to me is like, you know, I do Olympic style weightlifting every single morning. Like, that is my yoga. I do meditation every evening, somatic experiencing I do every evening. And, you had said that the person that's doing the meditation class had said, you know, committing to 10 minutes a day. I think a lot of people feel like they've got to do 20 minutes or 30 minutes, which is a big undertaking, 45, 60, whatever. So I don't think this stuff is, and I don't think the listeners of this show at all would think that some of it seems out there at all. I mean, to be honest, a lot of the different things that people that listen to this have probably tried before any of these things are quite a bit wackier than anything that they would be hearing about at a summit like this. I remember when I went to a Rolfer like 12 or 15 times or something like that, and I paid $150 a session for her to basically just beat the shit out of my body, and I always felt worse afterwards. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. I mean, people have definitely done things that are far more out there. Okay, this stuff, this is all really good. I am curious about, and maybe just, you know, comment on it as much as you feel like you can. There's a sentence in here where, in the weekend takeaways portion, where it says, "And learn how highly sensitive people can lead pain-free lives." And I get the sense when I hear from listeners, I get emails from people that fall into that highly sensitive category just ultimately feel like this is never something they can get over. They take things too personally. They latch on to too many things. And by latching on or taking things too personal, it inherently means that they can't live a pain-free life. Can you maybe comment on the highly sensitive portion of it?
Yeah. Well, I have one of the practitioners speaking is Dr. Picara Vassallo from New York City. And it's funny because we spoke a couple weeks ago, and she and I have very similar stories, actually. And she herself was chronically sick with a whole variety of chronic pains for much of her life. She's now healed and much better. And she found that she was very empathic and a highly sensitive person. So she has a whole program, and she's been developing this program for 10 years and has a Facebook group devoted to it. And, you know, she feels like there are tools and strategies that a highly sensitive person can apply to their daily life so that you're not taking on the energies and problems of others, and you're able to, you know, function well and have some boundaries, which I think is a great thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, taking on the burden of others, like I feel it with my daughters, particularly my older one, like, you know, somebody's mean to her or whatever, like I really internalize that stuff. It's almost like, I mean, somebody being rude to her is 50 times worse than somebody being rude to me. And I don't know, it's something that I deal with quite often. Not that it happens to her quite often, but it's something that I think about quite often. But I, you know, I far take on more of that than I do with just people that are in the outside world. So there was something that you have, we talked, you know, back in that original episode, episode 147, which again, it was from October 28th. And if you're interested in hearing more about that, if you haven't already, go back and listen to it. But we had talked about your story. And then you had kind of sent over a synopsis of your bio to prepare for this interview. And there was something that really caught my eye that we did not go into depth on, that I want to get more into this topic. So it says, my relationship with my boyfriend came to a crashing halt. This person was my best friend for 13 years, and we dated for one. This person significantly aided in my feeling better with migraines. So the thing that I want to pull out of this that I want to talk about for a little bit, and you go on to say this, you say, I now know that he was a crutch. And so talk a little bit about that. I think that people oftentimes, and to me, this kind of aligns a lot with people trying to turn this type of stuff into, if I think positive, then it means that all my pain and problems will go away, right? That is just a crutch to me. So talk about relationships in general being a crutch for people, where they feel like I need to have this thing or this person in my life in order to feel well. And if they go away or they're gone, it means I will not be well.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very, I mean, I didn't realize this till like after the fact, you know, but I mean, well, I guess there were some moments where I realized it within the relationship, but, gosh, where do I start? You know, I was starting to feel better from like 2010 to 2014 before I had the regression in 2014 when our relationship ended. And we were really great friends at that point prior to dating. And, that person really modeled the whole, lifestyle of meditation and, you know, not being a victim. And, you know, like, so I learned a lot from that person. It was actually quite beneficial in some ways. But I realized when we were together, I felt great. And when, we weren't together, I sometimes didn't. And, you know, I could maybe eat less healthy food when we were together or not care about my bedtime, you know, like all that laundry list of tick marks that you needed to do to feel good. Like yeah. So that laundry list didn't matter so much when we were together. And so after the fact, when the relationship ended, and the headaches regressed, I realized that I wasn't better. Like I still had more growing to do, and I hadn't addressed the root of the problem. Like I thought I had. You know, I thought I was like mostly healed and I thought I was in a great place. But I hadn't fully delved into those past traumas and the emotional roots, you know, so it seemed like I was healed, mostly healed, you know, like let's say 90% healed. And trying to think like, what else can I say, Eddie? I don't know. Do you have any more questions, or maybe I can expand on something? I'm not sure what else to add.
No, that's okay. I the crutch thing is what I was most interested in. And you certainly addressed that. You know, maybe the last thing that that maybe we'll leave with today is I want to know a little bit more about the overwhelming theme that I get when I look at a lot of your content and a lot of the stuff that you're about is that you know, you went through a lot of these types of issues, you know, migraines, autoimmune, IBS, pinched nerves, back and neck pain, all this kind of stuff, food sensitivities and allergies, which I think is really interesting based on the line of work that you ended up taking your life into, right? You did K-12 education, but now you're in the culinary world. And I think that on the outside looking in, people on the surface may look at that and they would say, it's the food, right? It's that, you know, maybe mm-hmm. she discovered that she has a gluten intolerance or she can't have dairy or whatever. And that was the stuff that healed her. Can you maybe talk about mm-hmm. Some of the misconceptions around food, how most of us think about it, which is, you know, we ingest something and it's giving us our chronic pain. And if we eliminate that, then we'll eliminate all of our pain. You know, you're somebody in culinary. Can you maybe talk about that for a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, I personally believe that fully healing your body, mind, spirit, you know, involved healing with some food and diet and nutrition. And I still want to live the healthiest life longest possible. So for me, eating a certain way is part of being healthy. I'm no longer pedantic about, you know, different foods and what I can and cannot have like I used to be. So I do think that fully healing is recognizing as an adult what's healthy for you. And a big part of that, which is part of the Break Free from Chronic Pain Summit, is paying attention to your intuition. Like, what is your body really telling you it needs and wants? And that can change daily. You know, so it, you know, yes, I teach cooking and how to be healthier, but a big part of that maybe I need to expand upon on my website is really delving into your intuition, what your body needs. And, you know, that can be as simple as going to a restaurant and ordering, and you really want the burger, but you get the salmon because you think it's healthier. And then the whole time while you're waiting for the food, you think, oh, I really should have got the burger. And then the salmon comes and you think, gosh, my spouse got the burger. It looks so delicious, and kind of just being disappointed the whole time, you know? And I feel like that's what a lot of my life was like with chronic pain. Like, I wasn't fully connected to my intuition and I was disappointed, you know, maybe I took the wrong job because I thought that's what I was supposed to do, or I was dating the wrong person because I was like, not sure, like, what do I want? I'm not quite sure. And, so food and diet and nutrition is important, I believe, to be a healthy individual, but there's another layer of intuition involved in, and I'm, you know, it might sound even silly, but, and I write good recipes because I was a food science teacher. So I know how meticulous it needs to be. But like when I cook, I no longer set a timer. I look at the time because I'm writing a recipe, but I know the moment I smell it, when I think, oh, that smells good, it's done. And every time I second guess myself, it's too late. You know, it got slightly overdone, and life is like that. Like, this is life. You know, you get that call for the job and you hesitate, you don't take it, and then you hang up the phone and you wish you would have taken it, or like, that's life. So it's like learning, I think chronic pain was forcing me to really know like who I am and what I want, not what my sister wants, not what my mom wants, you know, not what my boyfriend or friend or, you know, like, so I know I kind of went off on a tangent, but
no, that's okay. What one thing that I feel like I'm hearing, and I'd be curious what your response is going to be on this, but have it be any scenario that you want. You laid out a few. Let's take the job example, for instance. Like, you get you see a job that you're interested in. Do you believe that? I mean, is a lot of intuition whatever that initial snap feeling is on something? Like, if I'm browsing job boards or something, and there's one that I come across, and I'm like, oh, that looks awesome. I'm probably not qualified. I do, you know, and then I justify all the reasons that it's not for me, and then I keep going. Is the intuition is really whatever that gut response was right away, right? Like, is 100%. That's what you're 100%. Saying. Okay. That's awesome.
And it even extends more like when I ran the culinary school in London, I was interviewed and hired in January 2018. And I applied in December of 2017. And I knew when I saw the job description, it was my job. Like, I knew I was going to have that job, and I had to actually argue with my husband because before I even went for the interview, I had found an apartment to view and to rent, like literally down the street from the school. And my husband said, this is crazy. You haven't even had the interview yet. And I'm like, I know this is 100% what I've been waiting in the UK for. And, had one of the most amazing interviews, you know, several weeks later because of Christmas break and, yeah. and was hired and, kicked myself for not taking that apartment. And, you know, but I couldn't convince my husband because, you know, he's still learning how to listen to his intuition.
Gosh, there's something I think about a lot is there was a job that I went through and interviewed and I was really excited about it. And this was maybe, that was a little over 3 years ago. And I got I didn't think I had a shot in hell. I got the offer. It included a whole bunch of stock grants. I accepted the offer. And then, I don't know, 16 hours later, whatever, I came up with all the reasons why I shouldn't do this. And I didn't take the job. I ended up going back on my, you know, the signature for it or whatever. Company went public about, I don't know, 10 to 11 months later. And my stock grants would have vested immediately based on the conditions of the offer. And it would have equated if I would have, company would have went public and then I would have sold my shares pretty quickly after, I would have walked home with $450,000 or something like that. Wow. And I, you know, I kick myself all the time because I was like, gosh, initially I know that I really, really wanted this. And then I talked myself out of it. And then, you know, here's something that literally I every time I see the name of the company and my current day job, we use that product. And so every time I see the logo, I just think, gosh, what are you doing? Because the intuition told me what to do, right? Like it said in the beginning, this is something that you should get. And then you sort of talked about all the reasons why it's not yours to have. And here we are, for, you know, $500,000 poorer, less rich, whatever you want to say. All because I question that intuition. I think that's really interesting. And it makes me think a lot about, I think the stories that I hear from so many people that come on this show or people that interview me and stuff is they take that term like suck it up to almost like a whole nother level. You know, there's an expression that I've heard before that says you're going to eat a lot of shit and like the taste of it. And what that means is that there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to do that you're going to hate doing, but you just have to do them anyway. And I just don't think that life needs to be like that. You know, if your gut's telling you that this is a bunch of BS, like that's totally okay. I don't know. The intuition conversation is really interesting because it's something I used to not buy into it. You know, 5-6 years ago, if you asked me, tell me, you know, here's my opinion on intuition or what's the opinion on intuition, I would have said, it's a bunch of BS and you just have to go through life and do the things you don't want to do, you know, even if you hate doing them and all that kind of stuff. But in the last couple of years, especially I've gotten into my mid-30s, it's evolved a little bit to where I'm like, you know, no, I can have the opinion that this thing totally sucks. And that's intuition talking.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. I think this is something that has been lost in our culture and society and is not taught. And we're realizing that now. And, you know, if I do have children, I will be a parent that teaches this to my children. And how do you be in the flow? What do you enjoy? You don't have to go through life thinking, I have to go through all these crummy experiences and take jobs that I don't like and stay with it. Like, no, like my husband is interviewing right now for roles and he's really paying attention to how the recruiter has the language they're using in the email or the phone call or the first video interview. Like he's saying, oh, I didn't really like the language that they used. It was, you know, it seemed like it was a bit racist or this or that. And he never would have said those things in the past. So he's being able to discern like what, you know, who seems like they're on his team and like it would be really the most amazing life experience to be part of that, you know, and that's what life is. Like you don't have to, you know, take second best, you know, and that's what I did with chronic pain with so many things. I just thought, I don't have the choices of others. No, you have every choice available to you. But at the same time, like it's really important to not kick yourself for not taking those opportunities because you did at that very moment in time was what was the very best thing for you. Absolutely. So, and something else will come along, you know, like in due time.
Well, if I would have taken that job, I never would have had a podcast. So,
go ahead.
I was going to say, so there certainly is that. I mean, even further, the day job that I do now, when I had my final interview with the vice president and he had asked me, you know, what are some of the things you like to do? I think the answer that most people in my role would give is I like to read books on sales, or I like to further educate myself on this topic or whatever. And I had said that I do a podcast on psychology and chronic pain. And it's just, okay, like I launched that out into the universe and see what he says. And I told him it drops every Wednesday and I will take, you know, an hour and do an interview during my work day every single week, and basically just put it all out there. And he had just said how cool he thought that whole thing was. And I had just, okay, well, that's, I'm in the right place then, is sort of how I felt after that. Because it wouldn't have happened with the job with all the stock grants. It's something that I just never would have had the time to do. I would have just been too inundated with the things that I had to do.
See, it all worked out as it was meant to be, yep. You know? So there's no good or bad, really. It'll all work out.
Well, let's recap. So again, February 6th and 7th. And you can go to mindbodykitchens.com/chronic-pain-summit. And I'm going to link this in the show notes so you can go there to find out more about it. But I would say get your registration in early. It's going to be over Zoom, so you can do it in the comfort of your home, and you can wear essentially whatever it is that you want. And that's one real benefit of the pandemic, I guess, is that oftentimes when I have meetings, now it's like I keep a polo right next to me with a dress coat, you know, with a sport coat. But I'm always wearing Nikes and Stance socks and compression shorts and workout shorts over the top of those for every meeting. And it's been an interesting life ever since all that. So
yeah, come as you are. We also have a limited number of tickets, 50% off with the code BREAKFREE, all caps. And the, mindbodykitchens.com website, if you just click on the Chronic Pain Summit, there's a link in there to the Eventbrite page as well. So it's easy to find. It's very simple.
Awesome. All right. Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for jumping on again with us. And we're really looking forward to the event.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.